Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Hannah with Kingdom Builders International. I thank God for everyone that has called in and for all our internet listeners. I thank God for you tonight. Continue to listen to the music and I will return.
So by myself. So have your way, Jesus. Despitefully against
have
you.
Your way.
So, Lord, I'm asking you to have your way.
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 I want this to be the place where God lives. He resides in our worship. He resides in our praise to Him. He resides in us. So have your way, Jesus. every need, your every desire, but you gotta let him have his way.
Glory to God. We definitely have to continue to ask God to have his way in our life. Again, I thank God for everyone that has called in. And for all the internet listeners, we give you all the praises and honor and glory, God, for what you are doing through Kingdom Builders International. Thank you, Jesus. And again, this is Evangelist Hannah. I give a shout out to Prophetess Teresa. Glory to God, one of the founders of Kingdom Builders International. And tonight, I have a general in the army of the Lord. Glory to God. My pastor, Apostle Leonard Emmons, glory to God, from Living Way Christian Center in Gary, Indiana. Apostle, are you on the line?
I'm on the line, praise God. How are you this evening, Evangelist?
I am blessed, Apostle. Just excited to hear words from God tonight as he speaks through you.
We're excited with you, and praise God.
Glory to God. So this time I yield the line to you, Apostle.
All right. I thank you so much, Evangelist. I appreciate you. Much. We praise God for Kingdom Builders International. We praise God for Kingdom Daughters. We praise God for Minister of Providence, Teresa, and her husband, the man of God, Brother Quentin. We praise God for all of you this evening that are with us. We praise God for the opportunity to be on the line, on the air once again. We encourage you all to continue to pray for the success and for the effective ministry of Kingdom Builders International. Praise God, they're doing an excellent work. And we know good and well God has a tremendous release further for this international ministry. We are so grateful to God to address you again on this first Tuesday of the month. Of April, praise God, 2012, and we are looking forward to this broadcast this evening, and let us just agree in prayer. Father, we thank you and bless you, Father, tonight afresh, and we cover, Father, this time afresh in the precious, spotless blood of the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of this world. Father, we take authority, Father, over the kingdom of darkness again by the blood of Jesus. We enforce the victory won by our resurrected, living, ascended, enthroned King, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Master. Lord Jesus, we bless you tonight, and we praise you for the privilege to represent you according to your word. You said, as you are, so are we in the earth. And so, Lord, tonight we yield ourselves afresh to the Spirit of the living God. And we yield this time again to you, Lord Jesus. We trust that you would bring refreshing and enlightenment, revelation. We trust, God, that the revelatory grace, Father, and the wisdom of God would be unveiled even through this time with God's people tonight. Father, we pray, God, that you would so quicken us by your Spirit and that you would call to the glory of God to be released tonight. Father, we ask as well that you would call the miraculous, that you would call the dynamo, the power plant within us, the glory of God, the Holy Spirit, to rise up, the Holy Ghost would surge up. spring up with dunamis power, even so that our lives will be adjusted and changed. Even so, Father, your healing presence and power will be released. I decree that the healing presence of Jesus is released among those that are under the sound of my voice now. I decree that the power that raised Jesus from the dead is released even during this broadcast and during this time tonight, and that deliverance is going forth throughout this broadcast, Lord God, this time with God's people tonight. Father, cause your glory, Father, to be released. Lord, we trust you, God, that you would aid and help us to see what you're saying. And Lord God, that you would cause signs to follow, even according to your word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, again, I praise God again for this opportunity to be with you, my brother, to be with you, my sister. We praise God that the Lord has shown himself strong even over the course of this day, not to mention the course of your lives, even as you all are with us. We praise God for the opportunity to be a witness to the truth. And tonight I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles with me over to Acts, the 10th chapter. There's a very familiar passage of scripture for some, maybe new to others. Praise God. That's Acts, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to first read from the King James Version. Praise God. And it basically goes like this, Acts 10:38. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In the Amplified Version, I'm going to read that as well. Of course, it's going to be somewhat similar, praise God. In the Amplified Version, it reads like this, how God anointed and consecrated Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with strength and ability and power, how he went about doing good and in particular curing all who were harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil, for God was with him. Now, most of us, those of you listening to the sound of my voice, most of us would not have any problem in looking at that scripture, reading it, and praise God, being awed by, you know, the works of Jesus. However, the Bible tells us in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said that greater works would be done by us. Now, he said that greater works would be done by us and through us. Now, mind you, some commentators and some theologians basically have said that that would mean that we would, because of the numbers, we would do more miracles because of the numbers. However, most of the commentators also equate the greatest miracle as being the thing that would be transmitted mostly, and that's the miracle of sharing the gospel, preaching the gospel, and bearing witness of the truth that Jesus Christ came into the world and that he was born of a virgin and that he lived and died. And he lived in the earth for only 33 and a half years, but after his assignment was done, that, you know, Jesus got out of here. But before he left here, he did something that was totally significant, and I mean beyond significance, in that he died on the cross at Calvary. And when he died, a very vicarious death on the cross at Calvary. And the Bible tells us and teaches that he died for our sins. And because he died for our sins, the Bible tells us that he was himself the Lamb of God slain before the foundations of this world. And the Bible tells us that he came and took our place and became our substitute. He became the sacrifice, and he paid the price for our redemption, and that he bore our sins. In fact, the Bible says that he who knew no sins became sin for us. Jesus himself literally became sin. And while he was hanging on a tree, according to the word of God, the Bible tells us that Jesus, he literally became sin. He became our sin bearer. And he died on that cross. And he even went to hell for 3 days and three nights. And after the 3 days and three nights were over, we know that God the Father raised him from the dead. Now, according to history, if you were to go and read some of the historical accounts, if you were reading Josephus' account of history during this time, Josephus acknowledges all the historical facts surrounding this Nazarite, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Nazarite. And history tells us that Jesus, not only was he someone that died of capital punishment back in that day, not only was he historic, but history tells us that he was, of course, real. And the reality of the facts was there was great controversy around him being raised from the dead. Now, according to history, he's the only one that we can all acknowledge that he was raised from the dead, regardless of the controversy surrounding that. Now, this is extremely important for us as we look at the time frame that we're in. Oh, by the way, for those of you that you need a subject or a title, we're talking about a time for miracles, a time for signs and wonders, miracles, healing manifestations. And some of you out there, even as you hear me say that, some of you, when I said miracles, signs and wonders, healings, manifestations of the supernatural, I want you to allow, when I said that, some of you were quickened in your inward parts. Some of you were stirred in the very deepest recesses of your mind. Some of you felt that there was a connection. And I want you to understand that that's by the Holy Ghost. That's by the Spirit of God. And because tonight we want to talk about, again, a time for miracles, a time for the supernatural. We live in an age that's different than any other age. And it's important for those of you under the sound of my voice to allow the Spirit of God to renew you in your thinking. There's a need for all of us to repent. There's a need for all of us to allow the Holy Ghost to wash us in the renewing of our minds. And along the way, we need to tell the Lord we're sorry. Tell the Lord that we apologize for not being moved away from some of the traditions, some of the very base understandings, that too many of us are so dependent upon the facts that establishes our so-called belief systems. We need to move away from some of those standards. And what I'm saying is, standards that keep us locked in to a mindset that our God is only historic and that he's not real. Now, history tells us that Jesus of Nazareth is real. Now, history tells us that he actually lived during the time where Pontius Pilate was ruling there, and he was set there by Augustus, Caesar Augustus, that he was established there by the emperor, and that history tells us that he actually was the governor over that area, and he's the one that gave the authority for Jesus to be crucified. Now, the crucifixion is crucial for all of us, and it's important for us to recognize him. I want you to turn in your Bibles again over here to the second chapter of of Acts. Very quickly, because there's a couple more scriptures that we want to establish here. Praise God. And mind you, we have Sunday coming up, and I know for some folk they call it Easter Sunday, and it's really sad. It's very tragic that many in the body of Christ have not. And one reason why we're encouraging you to adjust, change, and for you to move along, because the world system, unfortunately, has corrupted and it corrupted the body of Christ, the church, many hundreds of years ago. And many in the body of Christ, I'm talking about the ecclesia, the called out ones, the ones that Jesus talked about in Matthew 12 and Matthew 16. He said that he was building his church, his ecclesia, the called out ones. And if you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior Lord this evening, no matter how long ago, if you can identify that you are a believer and that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, then that means you have a living Savior inside of you. Now, mind you, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is inside of you, my brother. The kingdom of God is inside of you, my sister. I want you to understand, there is a living Christ. There is a living God. And God, who lives inside of you and I as believers, he is the omnipotent God. When Moses asked the question of Jehovah, he said, whom shall I say when I go to Pharaoh? Whom shall I say sent me? And Jehovah told me, he said, listen, just tell him, I am that I am. I am that I am. And many times, brother, many times, dear sister, you just need to be reminded. I mean, whatever challenge you're faced with, you remember now, you are in covenant with the God who is eternal, supernatural. He is omnipresent. He is omnipotent. He is omniscient. He is all-powerful. He's the almighty God. And he is so huge that he holds the whole world in his hand, and yet he is so small. He can reside in the very smallest place inside of you. I mean, he's just that awesome. And he is our God. And tonight, we're talking about it. It's a time for miracles. Now, this is April the 3rd, 2012, and the beginning of April, and this month is a month of miracles. This month is a month of signs and wonders. There's some of you out there been believing God to be healed. Tonight's your night. We want you to allow the word of God to quicken you tonight. I decree that the healing power of God is working mightily in you, my brother, mightily in you, my sister. You're in the hospital tonight, and if you're at home tonight and you've been challenged by pain in your back, pain in your stomach, tonight I decree that you're well, my brother, that you are healed, my brother, that you're well, that you are healed, my sister. Dear, blessed brother, dear blessed sister, I want you to understand that our God is omnipresent. So he's right there with you. Even as I speak tonight, he's right there with you. And I want you to understand that the power of God is working mightily in you. I want you to allow that power, allow that force of God to work in you. I curse any cancer that's there inside of you, my brother, that's there inside of you, my sister. I curse every root of cancer inside of you right now. I decree cancer dismantled, destroyed, demolished right now by the sound of my voice. I want you to read over here in Acts 2. We want to begin our reading. At verse 22, it says, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, we read earlier in Acts 10, 38, how Jesus went about doing good, how Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good and healing all those that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him, in the King James. Here says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Now, here we know that this is one of the things that got Jesus in trouble. And today, even as we speak, even as we conversate this evening, I want you to understand one of the most troubling things that we see in the quote-unquote the church world or the religious world is this apostolic movement. The apostolic movement. I'm going to say it again. The apostolic movement. And as an apostle of God, I want you to understand that this movement was not started by men, that God himself is the one who by the Holy Ghost in the earth has restored and restoring this apostolic dimension in the earth. Now, the apostolic movement, again, was initiated and it was started by God. If you read the Old Testament, you'll see that the most dominant office that was representative in the Old Testament, of course, was the prophet's office. And, of course, God's doing a new thing. He's doing something fresh. And when Jesus, when he came to the earth and in his earthly ministry, he chose 12 men. And he chose 12 significant men. And these men, he did not call them prophets, even though they received this prophetic dimension. He called them apostles. And he established a new order, an apostolic order. Now, I know religion, many religious teachings are that the miraculous, supernatural dimension of God, you know, after the last apostle died, the last apostle John died, that miracle ceased. And that's a very unfortunate thing that religion has done. It has emasculated the ministry of Jesus Christ through his teaching. But I want to tell you tonight that, you know, that's what men tried to do. Men tried to shut up the truth about Jesus after he was risen from the dead, ascended to the Father. And now the Bible tells us that he sits at the right hand of the Father right now. The Bible tells us that after spending roughly 40 days with the disciples after his resurrection, that Jesus ascended out of the earth, according to the Gospels, on a cloud. But he told his disciples not to go anywhere to tell anyone about him, even before they were instructed to go and to initiate the Great Commission. He told them to not go anywhere until they be endued with power. Now, the power that they were endowed and endued with was supernatural, wonder-working, miraculous, signs and wonders, healing power. Now, mind you, Jesus expects every believer to function and operate in this dimension. Now, I want you to understand, because he left the body of Christ, the church, the ecclesia, he left the church into the hands of apostles, because he established an apostolic movement. He established an apostolic work. And that work has not stopped. That work has not ended. Many people, as they read Ephesians, many times they'll skip over Ephesians 4:11. They'll skip over, or either they'll, in that verse, they'll skip over that how God has set in the church and has, you know, given, you know, of course, they agree that, okay, pastors are functional. They agree that evangelists are functional. Within the last 40 years, people now even recognize teachers, even in denominational churches. But when you start to talk about prophets and apostles, then it becomes controversial. Well, first of all, if you're going to agree that pastors, under-shepherds, teachers, and evangelists are appropriate, then you have to understand you can't take those three and not take the other two. In the second chapter of Ephesians, it tells us in verse 20 that Jesus Christ himself has established the church itself, and he has used apostles and prophets as foundational in establishing the church, and he, Jesus himself, is the cornerstone. You can't have the church of the Lord Jesus Christ without apostles and prophets. Many people, again, try to write off these particular offices and try to negate the significance of these two offices, but you can't do it. First of all, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, they came from God. And so the other two offices, of course, they came from the Lord himself as well. Now, I want you to understand, there's an apostolic mandate in the earth. As we read verse 23, it says, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken him by wicked hands, have crucified and slain. So it's acknowledging here, Peter is acknowledging what they, some of the wicked rulers and all of Israel did. It says, whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. But David speaking concerning him, as David prophesied in the Psalms, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, my tongue was glad, move also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. David, by the Holy Ghost, was able to see where Jesus, Yeshua, or Mashiach, was going to die. He was going to go to hell, and he was going to be there. His physical body was going to be in question. It says, thou hast made known, verse 28, to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, David was a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of his lips, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Hamashiach, the Christ, to sit on his throne. Now, again, we're talking about throne. We're talking about an eternal throne. Verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ. You know, the resurrection is one of the most controversial subjects there is. Religion basically can kind of mentally assent to the resurrection. Religion and philosophy and religion and different religious groups, there's a mental assent to the fact, not really recognize it and laying hold of the truth that Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, actually was indeed raised from the dead. It said, he, speaking of David, seeth before speak of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And then verse 33, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted. Now here's a fact here. Jesus today is at the right hand of the Father exalted. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. Now again, he's giving them commentary upon what they saw, as the 120 folk were filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of the tongues. And, you know, and this is a sad commentary, too. The religion says that, you know, there really wasn't anything with what happened as far as the tongues and as far as the day of Pentecost, activities. And that's very important because that's another way of taking the strength out of the new covenant. And that's another way of taking out the miraculous from our covenant with God. And dear brother tonight, dear sister tonight, I want you to understand, we are today as believers, we are part of the new covenant church. We are in covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And this covenant is a new covenant. This is not an old covenant. I want you to turn over here to Hebrews right quick. We're almost out of time. In a way tonight, this is sort of an introduction in a way, and I pray by the grace of God we get a chance to continue this conversation next month. But I want you to understand something. This month is the start of the miraculous and the supernatural. And those of you that are under the sound of my voice, if you've been calling on the name of the Lord for some period of time, I want you to understand something. If you are a believer, I want you to recognize the fact. I want you to understand the truth that God is real and that God is very significantly at work in your life, and he's working something out marvelous. You're not by yourself. Now, if God is God, and if you believe what you believe, that means that you are a supernaturalist. I'm going to say that again. If God is God, and if you receive from this God, God is God, this omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God, if you are connected with Elohim, El Shaddai, if you're connected with Yahweh, if you're connected with the I am that I am God, the one that Moses was dispatched from the desert to Egypt to set 2.5 million Jews free. If you are connected, if your God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus said it this way, that his God, that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Now, our God is a living God. There's no death associated with him. He is living. That's why our faith has to be living. We have to have a living faith. We have to have a living faith and reliance and trust. We cannot have be connected. And see, many of us, we got to shake off the dead ash of our religious positions. We got to get rid of the stuff that's dead. Now, religion itself wants to keep people dead. Religion want to try to make sure that it controls everything. And even and religion makes an attempt to control God in the absolute the greatest deception that one can be suffering from is trying to control God. Now remember, our God, according to 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 17 through 21, it tells us that our God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Now that's what the Bible says, and I know we got some Bible readers out there. I know I got some brother and sister supernaturalists out there. Now, if you are a believer, if you're born again, that makes you a supernaturalist. Now, mind you, if you're a naturalist, you believe in the natural things, and you study the things of botany and biology, and you believe in what the scientific research has already established about nature. I mean, there's certain things that you can bank on about nature. There's certain things you can bank on about the sun, the moon, the stars, and the trees, and the plants, and et cetera. But that only goes so far. Now, we, by faith, according to the Bible, we are in relationship with a true and living God. We are connected with our God, who, of course, is supernatural. We're talking about a time for miracles, and tonight I want you to allow your faith to be stirred. I want you to allow yourself to be challenged tonight. Over in Hebrews, the 8th chapter, because we're in a new covenant. It says, then that he said a new covenant, he hath made the first old, now that which decayeth and wax old is ready to vanish away. In the King James Version, it says it that way. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says, when God speaks of a new covenant or agreement, he makes the first obsolete out of use. Now, for some of you, that is what your religious position with God is. For some of you, under the sound of my voice, the denominational view, the culturalistic view, the view that it's important for you to recognize, especially if it does not allow you, if it doesn't encourage you to experience the true and living God. That means that the point of view, the philosophy, the concepts and ideologies of your group, if they're telling you that there are no more apostles, if they're telling you that there are no more prophets, then what they're saying is their own religious leaders who call themselves pastors don't exist either. They're also saying that the evangelist that you love to enjoy to come to your church periodically, they're saying that one doesn't exist either. They're saying that there are no teachers. You cannot X out either one of these five, because the Bible tells us that Jesus tore up his mantle in five different ways, and he gave gifts unto men, according to the fourth chapter of Ephesians. The same Bible tells us that as God has built his church, that the foundation of the church, the foundation is laid in apostles and prophets, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Now, again, these people that tell us, try to suggest that, you know, there are no more apostles, that when the last apostle died in A.D. 100, when the last apostle John, you know, John the son of Zebedee, when he died, then that apostolic movement died. Well, first of all, they're lying to you. What they're trying to say is that is obsolete. But in actuality, what it's saying here, Paul says, when God speaks of a new covenant or agreement, he makes the first one obsolete out of use. Now, the word obsolete, and again, we read from the Amplified version, it means outdated. Now, I want y'all to understand, if you're going to cross over and if you're going to see the miraculous, if you're going to experience the healing power of God, some of you tonight, you know, you can get rid of that sinus problem tonight. I'm talking about by faith. I'm talking about a heavenly transaction. I'm talking about a supernatural transaction tonight. And the Lord wants to get rid of that sinus infection. He wants to get rid of those allergies tonight. He wants you to absolutely, totally set free from the congestion and the coughing and sneezing, as well as the pneumonia type of bronchitis and the asthma tonight. If you're out there tonight, you need to lay hold by faith. Healing is all over you, my brother. The healing power of God is all over you, my sister. Now, mind you, it said he makes the first one obsolete. And what is obsolete, out of use, and annulled because of age? Now, I want you to understand, for those of you that are holding true to your traditional views, your New Age views without the miraculous, your old, it says this word obsolete, old, it means outdated, out of style, it means of no use, no longer appropriate, replaced by something new, antiquated, old-fashioned, or no longer current. Now, there's some views, I'm telling you, it's amazing. When you need a miracle, it's amazing. Regardless of what your belief systems are, you know you want one. You desire one. You got to have one. And see, mind you, God created you so that you could experience the miraculous. He created you so that eventually you would yourself would be flowing in and become an instrument of the miraculous. God created you, designed you, God made you so that you could function and operate like him. Remember now, if you are a believer, if you're born again, if you are a child of God, that means you have components like God. That if you're made in his image and his likeness, and like some of you claim to be, that means that there are components that God engineered inside of you to function and operate in the miraculous and the supernatural. Now, the link to all of this is, of course, the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Ghost. You know, it's not supposed to be by our might or our power. Some of you are trusting too much of your education. You know, you got 3 degrees, go, you know, praise God. We believe in education, of course. But if your belief systems are purely based upon your education, then that means that reason now has become your God. And that intellect has become your God. And I want you to understand something. I wouldn't need for you to turn over. I want you to understand something. You know, the obsolete or out-of-date belief systems without the miraculous, you know, where your church says, you know, we don't believe in the apostolic, we don't believe in the prophetic, but we, you know, but when we need a miracle, we'll believe for a miracle. Well, guess what? You need a foundation to base that upon. You just can't just say, I'm going to believe that because, but I don't have any scripture basis. I don't have any biblical understanding, a biblical base. But I want you to understand, I need you to turn over here to 1 Corinthians. And we're almost done with this installment today. We're almost done. Our time's almost gone.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. This is Evangelist Hannah. I added another 30 minutes on if you want to go further.
Yes, absolutely, because we want to try to establish this, because, again, the Spirit of God is moving upon those under the sound of my voice. And when I say that, I want you to understand, as an apostle of God, there's a connection and a cooperation of the Holy Ghost. Again, we're talking about the miraculous and the supernatural. And I want you to understand that I did not engineer this. 39 years ago this day, I was in the hospital here in Gary, Indiana. About 9 o'clock, 39 years ago, on this day, I was involved in an industrial accident where I almost got sawed in half. And a foot and a half, my intestines were crushed. My inner stomach was punctured. And the veins that run to the, from the top of my body to each leg were severed. I lost about 6 pints or 6 units of blood or whatever. I was on the operating table for 6 hours. I'm talking about 39 years ago. 39 years ago, if you were on the operating table for 6 hours, that meant that your life was hanging in the balance. I was 19 years old, and of course, you hear me tonight, so you know how well I lived. But I want you to understand something. In about this time, 39 years ago, I was not even conscious. I don't remember waking up to sometime the next morning when I thought I was completely fine, and I was heavily drugged with pain medication because I was in tremendous pain. But, of course, as you know, I lived. And as I got out of the hospital and I started to recover, when I would go to the U.S. Steel dispensary for checkups with the doctor, who was the lead doctor over my case, as I would go in, they would call me the miracle boy. And they kept calling me, well, because it was a miracle that I lived. Everybody knew it. I got hit and crushed, you know, at the meal. And everyone knew that it was a miracle that I lived. Everyone knew that I should have died, but of course I did not. I want you to understand something. Again, that was 39 years ago on April the 3rd, 1973. I had never been called a miracle before. And that term, that thing stuck with me. And it lodged in my mind, in my heart, when I realized I was a miracle. Now, mind you, I didn't completely understand the significance of all that, but because of the grace of God, the fall of that year, I started to read the Bible, and I started to pray, and God started to talk to me. Now, mind you, I wasn't in church. I wasn't, quote-unquote, a religious person, but God started to talk to me. And tonight, I talk to you from that place of being a miracle. I am a walking, living miracle. They call me a miracle. And I'm telling you tonight, even as the end of March was closing in and I started to look at, you know, what the Lord was saying for the month of April, and I kept hearing, and, you know, the miraculous, the supernatural. And I received confirmation here and there. And so our discussion is skewed this way because I want you to understand. I want you to look behind certain religious things that people have been saying. Most people will rob you of your faith if you allow them. And many times they're very caring when they say such things, you know, because they don't want you to be disappointed. But I learned back in 1973, because I was not in church, I didn't have anyone to try to put a canopy upon my beliefs. All I knew is I was reading the Bible, and God was talking to me, and he started to direct me and instruct me. And so because I was a miracle boy, I was a miracle. I was a living, walking miracle. And I fully recovered to from that accident. I mean, there are things I could not do after the accident that I was able to do beforehand, but I've lived what I consider more than a normal life. The last time I was in the hospital was in that month, 39 years ago. That was the last time I've been in the hospital. That was the last time I've been in the hospital for anything. Because I soon discovered as I started to read the Bible, that I started to connect with this supernatural, omnipotent, omnipresent, I am that I am, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim, God. I started to connect with that God. As I read the scripture, I started to believe. I actually started to believe what I was reading. It was so real to me. Now, I really didn't know much about the Holy Ghost, but the Spirit of God started to connect with me. I want you to listen to something here. This is Paul, as he's talking to the church at Corinth in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. He says, "And I, brethren," the first verse, "when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He said, I came to you. I didn't come to you with some speech that I had been stayed up all night. And praise God for speeching. And I mean, I've been preaching now, glory to God. It'll be 30 years next year. And I really appreciate the grace of God and the opportunity to represent the Lord. I'm going to read from the Amplified version. It says, "As for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony and evidence or mystery and secret of God concerning what he has done through Christ for the salvation of men in lofty words of eloquence or human philosophy and wisdom." Paul said, I didn't come to you with some kind of philosophical view. I didn't come to you with some, $100 words necessarily, even though Paul could have. Paul was an extremely intelligent man. Now listen to what he says as I continue to read. It's verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." In 1973, after I started reading the Bible, I became acquainted with Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, you and I daily have to be mindful of that. There's a place daily that you have to just continue to thank God that Jesus Christ came, that he, paid the price for your sins and my sins. Now Jesus, because of his blood, because of him yielding and giving his life, he's paid the price for not only for us to be saved, but you need to equate this. Even as you tell people, "I'm saved," and some folks, "I'm saved, Holy Ghost filled," et cetera, et cetera. But the word salvation, it means saved, it means delivered, it means healed, it means prosperous, it means made whole. So you're saved, healed, prosperous, delivered. You know, it's all wrapped up into one. Now, mind you, what I'm saying is, when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you also, and praise God, I know you said you got your ticket to heaven, but it's much more than that. You also are healed. The Bible says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. When we receive Holy Communion, we're receiving and acknowledging and remembering that Jesus himself has not only died for our salvation, but even he died so that we would be healed. And First Peter 2:24, and I'm going to read something to you that Peter discovered. And hold your place there in Corinthians, First Corinthians, but I want you to listen to this. That's why tonight I want you to understand healing. Healing is present tonight. Healing is present tonight. And I understand that, you know, you may be going through something that, you know, that's maybe beyond what you might think the doctors might be able to do for you. But I want you to understand, Jesus has actually provided what you need. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, remember, this is Peter, and this is many years after the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And remember now, in the days of the early church, they did not have 66 books of the Bible as we know it. All they had was the Old Testament. And so they studied from the Old Testament, during the time when Jesus walked the earth. I mean, because that's what he used to preach from and to teach from. He used the Old Covenant. Okay? Now, during the days of Peter and Paul and Luke, etc., all they had was to study from, to glean the significance of Jesus' coming was the Old Covenant. And so in study and review, Peter came to the conclusion with the help of the Holy Ghost as he's talking about Jesus. Verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps." We're to walk in his steps. Remember now, as he is, so are we. We are God's representatives in the earth. We are an apostolic church. We are the flow and the function and the supernatural. We are supernaturalists. We are believers. What did Jesus tell us in Mark 16? He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." He said, "In my name." He said, "In my name." And the very first thing that a believer is supposed to do, according to what Jesus said, to verify and confirm that he's a believer or she's a believer, is to cast out devils. Now, mind you, if you operate in flow and deliverance and you cast out devils, that is a supernatural manifestation. That is you and the Holy Ghost working together. That is you partnering with God. The Bible says that you are co-laborers with Christ. That is you functioning, though, in a dimension of the supernatural. Now, in verse 22, it says, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Mind you, we're in 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 22, verse 23. "Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously." Verse 24, listen to this. Mind you, this is Peter after he had concluded with the help of the Holy Ghost as he reviewed what Isaiah 53, the whole 53rd chapter of Isaiah, as he studied, as he looked and prayed, and as he received revelation, and as he walked with Jesus, he saw Jesus do the miraculous. He saw Jesus raise people from the dead, and he also saw Jesus die on the cross. But, praise God, he also saw Jesus as he had been raised from the dead, and he talked with Jesus roughly 40 days after his resurrection. And then he saw Jesus ascend out of the earth on a cloud. Now, mind you, he has all of this in commentary, and as he's looking to establish the kingdom principles, as an apostle, he saw something. He said, "Who his own self," talking about Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Jewish Messiah, and yet our Lord as well, "who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree." So he's a sin bearer, talking about Jesus, "that we, being dead to sins." Now, if you are a believer, believe it or not, you're dead to sin. you're dead to sin. I'm going to say it again. You're dead to sin. What that means is you, if you are a believer, if you're a part of the body of Christ, if you are in covenant with God, that means that your life is hidden with God in Christ Jesus. That means that you are in Christ and you're dead to sin. Now, as you meditate on that and concentrate on the fact that you are in Christ and you become more God conscious, not sin conscious, and you yield to the Holy Ghost and help you to understand some things, you understand that you're dead to sin. And there are times when you'll be able to just walk past sin, not even allow sin to raise up in front of you or raise up inside of you. But anyway, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. And of course, we as believers ought to. Let's keep reading. By whose stripes ye were healed. Now, in the book of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, it tells us something there. It has the appropriate tense as the prophet was looking forward to the time that Jesus would come. I want you to listen to this. As the prophet here, as he received word about the coming Messiah, listen to what it says in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we have, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Listen to verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now it says, we are healed. Remember, this is a prophetic verse speaking of the coming Savior, the coming Messiah. And here it tells us when the Messiah would come on the scene, when the HaMashiach would come on the scene, when Jesus of Nazareth was on the scene, that what he suffered was going to benefit us, that the stripes and the wounds that he was going to suffer with and bear, that we would be healed. When that happened, it says, we are healed. So, and we are healed, of course, is present tense. When we read 1 Peter, the second chapter, now Peter is looking back at the cross. Isaiah was looking to the cross, the time when Jesus would actually pay the price for our sins and redeem us. Peter, looking back at the cross, looking back at the finished work of the cross at Calvary, recognizing that Jesus had been crucified, he looked back and he said, in verse 24, by whose stripes ye were healed. You see that? It says you were. My brother, you with the heart disease. You with the blood clot problem. You with the pancreatitis and the pancreas problem. You with the kidney failure. You with diabetes tonight. You're healed. I decree that you're healed right now. I decree that you're healed right now. I decree that you're healed right now. I decree that you're healed, my brother. I decree that you're healed, my sister. I want you to understand that the healing power of God is working mightily in you right now. I call you healed in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to listen to something. Come on. Just come on, stay with me. We're almost done. We got a little extra time, so we get a chance to delve a little further in this process. Now, I want you to recognize something here. Over here in the second chapter, again, of Acts, once again, we're still there, second chapter of Acts. I want you to listen to this. Praise God. Now, remember, our God is supernatural. We have an apostolic mandate. Jesus, he established this almost 2,000 years ago. Religion has robbed within those 2,000 years most of this stuff. But praise God for the apostolic reformation that we see in the earth presently. It's so that every believer would function and operate apostolically, that everyone in the body of Christ would operate as the sent one, that everyone in the body of Christ would operate with the mandate that demon powers are subject to us, that we could go and function and operate even according to what it says in Matthew 16. Now listen to what it says here, verse 42 of the second chapter of Acts. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Apostles' doctrine. Apostles' doctrine. Apostles' doctrine. My brother, my sister, you ought to be connected with an apostle. It's crucial that you glean from apostles' doctrines and teachings. It's absolutely necessary for your spiritual growth and well-being that you are connected with apostolic leaders and apostolic ministry. And I realize, you know, that, yeah, you're familiar with the fellowship of church that you're part of. You've been there for 20, 30 years. In fact, your whole family has been there for maybe, who knows, 50 years, maybe 80 years or whatever. But according to what it says here, these people, they continue steadfastly in the apostles. But I understand some of the, but all the apostles that don't know, that's what your religion says. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers were going to be appropriate and not obsolete, but appropriate and in style and in order, that apostles, prophets are just as much needful and necessary as evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, mind you, if you're going to yield and be submitted to an evangelist, pastor, teacher, then that means you need to also be yielded to apostles and prophets. You can't take stuff out of context because your church does, your religion does, your group does. The Bible says you can't add or subtract. Haven't you read the book of Revelations? You can't do that. And if you truly are a Bible student, I challenge you to get in there and read, study. And you can call me up, call me up 219-201-727. Call me up and talk to me, and I'll share further with you. But I want you to understand something. Listen to this. As they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Now God is demanding that we apostles, we the apostolic church, would rise up in the spirit of the living God and bear witness of our risen Christ, our resurrected Lord. Now mind you, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, but he has sent his spirit to the earth. The Holy Ghost is in the earth now. And it's the Spirit of God that's healing you right now, my brother. It is the Spirit of God right now, my sister, that is healing you. Right now, the peptic ulcer is totally dissolved and is gone, my brother. It's gone, my sister. Those of you that had the headaches right in between your eyebrow and the sinus problems that persisted, the sinus problem is gone, my sister. It's gone, my brother. Those of you that have suffered drainage from your ears, I want you to understand the Holy Ghost is drying that up right now. You are healed, my brother. You are healed, my sister. The healing power of God right now is flowing mightily in you, my brother. There's a little girl that has been suffering from challenges and breathing. The Lord is healing you right now. You feel the heat of the Holy Ghost right now resting upon you. The fire of God is resting upon you, precious. I want you to just yield to that. Just start thanking the Lord right now for the healing presence and the healing power of God. I'm telling you, there's a stirring in the spirit realm. There's a movement of God in the earth right now, where God is charging apostolic leaders, charging prophetic leaders, charging evangelists, charging under shepherds, pastors, and teachers. And there's a mandate of heaven apostolically for the church to rise up and to release the glory of God. Now, mind you, it's important for you to understand that if you are a believer, you are a supernaturalist. And you believe in the supernatural agency that intervenes in the course of natural law. And again, most people become a believer when they need a miracle. But I want you to understand this dimension God expects for us to walk in. If you are a supernaturalist, that means that you believe in forces beyond ordinary human understanding. Praise the name of Jesus. You believe in the Bible. If you are a supernaturalist, if you are a believer, you believe in the quality and condition of the truth really existing outside of any of the known experiences of mankind are caused by forces beyond the natural realm. If you are a believer, if you are believing miracles, remember now, this dimension, the miraculous and the supernatural, is the dimension that birthed the natural realm. God is our God, and he is beyond our wildest dreams. His power is so unbelievably awesome, and it's available for us. God wants to make himself known to you, my brother. He wants to make himself known to you, my sister, tonight. And I decree that the healing power of God right now is moving mightily upon you right now. Those of you with cramps and you suffer from arthritis, I want you to understand that there's a heat right now racing up and down your spine, racing, and you feel the vibration, you feel the heat, you feel it's almost like electrical energy racing over your shoulders and up and down your neck. That's the healing power of God. Some of you feel it in your hands, and it's to get rid of the cramps that the arthritis is causing you to shrivel. I rebuke that now. I bind up that presence and that power. One of the things that God is doing apostolically is he's bringing the body of Christ to a place of awareness of this dimension supernaturally. It's so that we can be used as vessels, instruments, so that we can use and be like Jesus was in the earth. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus was a conduit for the miraculous, a conduit for the supernatural. When we start to investigate the word miracle, it is akin to the word power. It is akin to the word or the phrase signs and wonders or healing manifestations. They are all synonymous and they all flow out of the same power, out of the same person, the third person of the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Holy Spirit. And if you are a believer, remember, the Spirit of God is inside of you. And if you're Holy Ghost filled, that means he rests upon you and you're clothed in him. I want you to understand that there is a dimension of the supernatural. There's a dimension of the omnipotence of God that's inside of you right now. And by faith, my brother, by faith, my sister, I want you right now to reach out. I want you to allow your spirit to reach out. Your spirit has hands. I want you to allow your spirit to reach out and appropriate the healing font. Allow the river of living water right now to just bathe you. Allow those rivers of living water to overflow and to saturate you. Some of you are feeling that right now. You're feeling the waters rushing over and the waters running over you right now. That's healing. That's healing water. That's healing water. I decree that you heal, my brother. I decree you heal, my sister, in the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord. As we hurry to our close this evening, this is the time for miracles. This is the time for signs and wonders. This is the time for the miraculous. This is the time for the supernatural. As a supernaturalist, I release the supernatural presence of my risen King of glory. I loose the supernatural presence of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, right now. I decree that the Spirit of God is moving right now upon you, my brother. The Spirit of God is moving right upon you, my sister. Some of you, you even feel the wind of the Spirit blowing upon you. And there's a gentle breeze blowing upon you, and you can feel that. That's supernatural. That's the power of God. That's the Holy Ghost right there with you. Now, I want you to understand, I am a miracle. That's what they call me. I became aware. I'm a miracle. A miracle is talking to you tonight. And I release miracles. I decree miracles and the miraculous release now. Some of you, financially, this month, starting now, tonight, I rebuke the spirit of poverty in your life, my brother. I rebuke the spirit of poverty in your life, my sister, right now. I bind up and I dismantle the spirit of mammon. I bind up and crush and smash all Babylonian concepts and ideologies, all enslaving philosophies, all enslaving ideologies of men's wisdom. Now, Paul said, he said, "For I resolve to know nothing," in the Amplified, verse 2 of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, "for I resolve to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing." Paul said, I resolve to know nothing. He said, "Among you except Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and him crucified." Listen to what it says in verse 4. "And my language and my message was not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Ghost in power, a proof by the Spirit and the power of God operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them." Verse 5. "So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men or human philosophy, but in the power of God." Tonight, in closing, I want you to understand. I want you to see. I want you to perceive. I want you to recognize that your faith, my brother, your faith, my sister, should only be in the power of God. I release the power of God right now tonight. I loose the anointing tonight. I bear witness tonight as a witness of Christ Jesus, my Lord, as an apostle. I bear witness tonight that the power of God is right there. The dynamo himself, the Holy Ghost, is moving upon you, hovering over you, my brother, hovering over you, my sister. I decree that you are healed. Well, the doctors have basically said there's no hope for you. The only thing that's left for you is just to take pills for the rest of your days, take the treatment that does not heal. I want you to understand the Lord right now is working healing. Those of you that have had trouble moving certain parts of your body, I want you right now to move those body parts. Those of you that had difficulty walking, I want you to get up and walk. Those of you that had problems and stretching and moving certain body parts, I want you to stretch and move. Some of you that the doctor told you couldn't eat certain foods anymore, I want you to have faith in God, and I want you to eat things that you enjoy that are not hurtful, but the doctor said you can't eat those things. I want you to eat those things that are healthy for you, but the doctor restricted because of some disorder, some malady, some sickness or disease. But if you sense and feel the presence of God tonight, if you are aware that the Spirit of God is all over you tonight, that means a change has happened. That means that something else now has superseded what condition you were before. I'm telling you that the healing power of God is all on you, my brother, all on you, my sister. I'm telling you tonight that the healing power of God is working mightily in you, that God himself is there with you, and that he is delivering you from that lifelong dependency on medications. You know, and I'm not against medication, but understand that there's a better thing. It's called Jesus and him being the great physician and him delivering you from the disorder and from the sickness that causes you to be on medication. So I'm saying that the answer, that the absolute source of the deliverance is there with you. And he's right now healing you of the oppression of the devil right now. The healing power of God is released now. Be healed, my brother. Be healed. I decree that you are healed tonight. I decree that you are made whole tonight. That cancer is gone, my sister. When you check yourself, my sister. Have the doctors to check yourself. You'll find that the cancer is gone, my sister. Even the lump in your neck where the thyroid has been out of whack right now, I curse that abnormal growth in your neck, my brother. I curse that abnormal growth in the name of Jesus. I curse that growth in your thyroid that where that water is turned into a water. I curse that in the name of Jesus. I decree, my brother, I decree, my sister, in the name of Jesus, that water, that growth in your thyroid is gone. Right now, in Jesus' name, I command that thyroid problem to right now be no more. Jesus' name. Dear brother, dear sister, with that thyroid problem, that hypo condition, that hyper thyroid condition, in Jesus' name, be healed right now. Be made whole in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, cancer in the throat, I curse that cancer in Jesus' name. I rebuke that cancer in Jesus' name. The heart problems, in Jesus' name, I command the blockages to go. I loose the fire of God, fire, fire, fire. I release the fire of God. I release the fire, 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 fire of God be released. I decree the fire of God in Jesus' name all over you, my brother, all over you, my sister. I decree that you're healed now. Made whole now. I decree that the name of Jesus is glorified because of you being healed, my brother, because of you being healed, my sister. Jesus glorified your name tonight, even with signs and wonders, miraculous manifestations, deliverance. In Jesus' name, I rebuke and bind up every demon that is the cause of my brother being sick, that is the cause of my sister being sick right now. I rebuke every demon, every principality, every power right now under the sound of my voice. I take authority over you right now, and I break, dismantle, demolish your hold upon my sister, your hold upon my brother right now, and I command you to go in the name of Jesus. I bind you up. I break and dismantle your hold upon my brother, upon my sister under the sound of my voice. I command you to pack your bags and go right now. Leave. Go right now. Up and out, go right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath, my brother. Take a deep breath, my sister. In Jesus' name, I command every spirit that's not of God to go. Father, I pray that you cause the angels of God right now, giant warring angels, to be released on behalf of those under the sound of my voice right now to drive out, to take out, and cast out every demon, every unclean spirit, every spirit that's not of God, every principality. In the name of Jesus, I right now cause the angels to chain them up, tie them up right now, line up in rank file in order, move, go right now. I command you to go up and out, go, leave. Leave my sister now, leave my brother now, go and never return. Father, I cover everyone under the sound of my voice in the blood of the Lamb Christ Jesus. I set them apart in the blood of the Lamb slain before the foundations of this world. I decree and declare that you're healed, my brother. I decree and declare that you're made whole. I cover you in the blood of Jesus. Father, I release and pray that the healing power of God, the anointing, will fall upon my brother right now. Fall upon my sister right now. Oh, feel the presence of God right now. Come on, allow that presence, allow that glory, allow that anointing right now to fall upon you. Come on, even as you feel that, as you sense that right now, those of you under the sound of my voice, understand that the power of God right now is working mightily in you. I seal this in the blood of the Lamb slain before the foundations of this world. I seal your healing. I seal your deliverance right now, my brother, in the blood that speaks of better things than the blood of Abel. Receive that now. Reverence God now. Come on, somebody ought to bless God tonight. Hallelujah. Jesus, we praise you and bless you. We praise and bless you, Lord Jesus, for being awesome right now. We thank you for revealing yourself. We praise and bless you for the miracles. We thank you for the signs and wonders. We praise you for the miraculous display of your goodness. Even as you heal the woman with the issue of blood, I thank you for healing my brother right now. I thank you for healing my sister right now. I thank you that they are made whole, even by the blood of the Lamb, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, bless God. Hallelujah. Praise God for you, evangelists. Hallelujah. Are we still there?
Praise God, Apostle. Oh, what a word. We have 2 minutes left. Can you please do a call of salvation right quick, Apostle?
Sure, absolutely. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity right now. And those under the sound of my voice that have not acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, this is your golden opportunity. I want you to just repeat after me right now. Say, Heavenly Father, Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you that Jesus came, that he lived, that he died on the cross for my sin. And according to the Bible, it says that if we confess with our mouths and believe in our hearts that Christ Jesus has become our atonement, the Bible says if we believe that and we confess it, and right now, even as you confess it, just say, I confess Jesus as my Savior and Lord. The Bible says that as we call upon him as Savior and Lord, and the Bible says that as we believe in his resurrection, that we believe the Father has raised him from the dead. If you believe that, my brother, if you believe that, my sister, say, I believe that. And repeat up and say, Father, I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Lord now. And according to the Bible, I am saved. So, Father, I thank you right now for my brother, my sister, that have prayed and agreed with me and agreed with you, Lord. And I thank you that they are saved according to the word of God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord, Apostle. Glory to God. We do have a couple of minutes for any comments of anybody on the line. I'm going to unmute the line. If you have a quick comment.
Yes, ma'am.
So you can come forth now. Glory to God. If you have a prayer request, you can come forth now. Well, I just thank God for everyone that has called in. I thank God for everyone on the internet that got this awesome word from God tonight in Jesus' name. The only thing I can say is walk in your healing. Apostle, if you have some last comments, you can go forth now. Praise God. Hello, Apostle?
Hello?
Okay, was someone talking?
Open the door to the downstairs, stop them and ask up for a bunch of people, maybe folks or whatever.
Okay. You can go forth now, Apostle.
No, I just echo what you said. You know, just like in anything, you got to walk in it.
But if you don't have that,
walk for it by faith. I totally agree with you on me. Praise God for those that were with us this evening.
It's a noise in the background.
I lost it.
Apostle?
Yes.
Okay. One of my sisters in Christ. She's on the line, but
they know who to pick their battles with.
Glory to God. Okay, well, I thank God for everyone that has called in. I thank God for the word that went forth tonight. Kingdom Builders International, thank you. And walk in your healing. Apostle will be on every first Tuesday of the month. So join in for next month for an awesome word from God. God bless and good night.
God bless and good night. Hallelujah.
Thank you.